The Mandalorian is officially back, COVID-23 has a movie, and Colin Kaepernick has a new show, all coming up on Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and you probably just had a really tough day because my episodes release on Wednesday. I record them on Mondays usually. And yesterday was the election, so I imagine you've had a tough one. So I'm going to try my best to keep this episode pretty light, because I'm sure we've all had a really rough time. And if you're like me, you've probably been stressed out for the last couple of weeks. So I tried to keep my recommendations pretty chill today. I tried to keep the news pretty light. So let's get on to it, starting with trailers. There are two big trailers I want to talk about, the first one being Midnight Sky. This movie's coming to Netflix, it stars George Clooney, and it's actually his directorial debut. He plays a lonely scientist in the Arctic that races to stop astronauts from returning home to a mysterious global catastrophe. Now, I love a good sci-fi epic, especially when it has realistic emotion. If I had to compare it to something, it looks a lot like The Martian, or maybe Interstellar, where it's very realistic science fiction, but still science fiction. It also stars Felicity Jones and David Oyelowo. I never know how to say his name, but he is from Selma. I talked about him before. Great actor. Check it out. The second one I wanted to talk about is not a movie that I'm going to see or recommend that you see. Just recommend that you watch the trailer and get upset about it, because I don't understand who thought this was a good idea. The movie is called Songbird. It's starring KJ Apa and Sophia Carson in a post-apocalyptic type world. It's a love story, but they can't see each other, which is so sad. Why can't they see each other? Because it takes place in a COVID-23 world. It takes place like 5 years from now. Yes, this trailer exists, and it has gotten so many people rightfully upset. This is way too soon. I don't know who thought it was a good idea, but it seems really tone deaf to the fact that people are dying and currently in the hospital. And it's still going on. We're still right smack in the middle of this pandemic. And yet this film has decided to just come out anyway. So it's set to come out 2021. There's no official release date. I hope this movie never comes out, frankly. I'm not a big KJ Apa fan. It's also produced by Michael Bay, who I have so many problems with. Let me know what you guys think of these two trailers. They're actually both on our Facebook page, so you can check it out at Live Action Remake on Facebook. Now, sorry to get so upset about that. I was just, frankly, it boggles my mind. But now on to movie news, starting with Kenya Barris, the creator of Black-ish and its spinoff series, as well as Black AF, is directing a feature film about famed comedian Richard Pryor. It's a Richard Pryor biopic. This would be Kenya Barris' directorial debut. And he's one of the most influential comedians of all time, Richard Pryor, so I'm pretty excited about that. Authors of the Animorphs book have parted ways with the Animorphs movie over creative differences. I didn't know this was going to be a movie or what creative differences they could have had over Animorphs. I actually never read them, but I remember all of the covers in the library when I was in grade school. So let me know if you guys have read Animorphs, or if you're excited for the Animorphs movie. I guess this is a live-action remake, so mark that down. Respect, starring Jennifer Hudson, a biopic about Aretha Franklin's life, has gotten delayed from January 2021 to August 2021. I was really looking forward to this. Jennifer Hudson is an amazing actress and singer. I guess we'll just have to wait till August for that, though. I'm still looking forward to it. Mindy Kaling will star and produce an adaptation of the New York Times best-selling novel, Good in Bed, which tells the story of an overweight Jewish female journalist, her love, work life, and her emotional abuse issues with her father. I'm not a huge Mindy Kaling fan, I have to be honest. I loved her in The Office, but then I saw The Mindy Project, and I think it's one of the lesser sitcoms of our time right now. But let me know what you guys think about that. Uncharted has officially finished filming, and we got our first look at Sully with the mustache. I know a lot of people were mad that Mark Wahlberg didn't have the mustache. He has it now. Let me know what you guys think about that. Again, I've never played the Uncharted games, but I'm still excited for this movie. Jordan Peele will produce a remake of the Wes Craven horror film, The People Under the Stars. Jordan Peele has been killing the horror game. I just saw Get Out. I know I'm super late to the game, and I really want to see Us. He's killing it. He's also been on The Twilight Zone. This is pretty exciting news. And on to news that gets me really angry. Ray Fisher, in an interview with Forbes, claims the director of Justice League, Joss Whedon, asks that the complexion of an actor of color be changed in post because, and I'm quoting here, he didn't like the color of their skin tone. The full quote reads, "What set my soul on fire and forced me to speak out about Joss Whedon this summer was my becoming informed that Joss had ordered that the complexion of an actor of color be changed in post-production because he didn't like this color of their skin tone. Man, with everything 2020's been, that was the tipping point for me." This gets me so upset that someone can dislike someone's skin color, first off, and being a person of color, that it needed to be lightened for it to be good. It just gets me really frustrated and angry. And if you go more into his in-depth interview with Forbes, he discusses how many people of color on the set of Justice League were cut out of the film or minimized in the cut of the film. Look, I'm not a big fan of the Snyder Cut. I was never for it. But if it gave power to Ray Fisher and empowered him to come out and speak about all this stuff, it's going to be worth it. Because all of this, bringing down Joss Whedon and everything he's been doing to people of color in this film, it's a good thing. I'm glad it's being light being shed on it. I stand with Ray Fisher. I hope everyone else does. And I hope you see the problem with that, of having to lighten a person of color's skin in order for them to look better. It's ridiculous. In sad news, Jamie Foxx's sister Deandra Dixon has passed away at the age of 36. He had a close connection with his sister. You could see his post on his Instagram. It's very sad. Our hearts go out to Jamie Foxx. And also, Sean Connery has passed away at the age of 90. You may have known him for his role as James Bond. Sir Sean died peacefully in his sleep while in the Bahamas, having been unwell for some time, his son said. His son had also said that many of his family who could be in the Bahamas around him were with him when he died overnight in Nassau. This is very sad news, of course. It's nice to know that he was with his family and he passed in his sleep. May he rest in peace. Our hearts go out to them as well. On to TV news. Netflix has announced that they're doing an Assassin's Creed live-action remake. That's 2-in-1 episode series. This series, there's not much more information about it. It won't be connected to the movies, I assume, because it was pretty bad, apparently. But this is pretty exciting news for the fandom. People are pretty excited about it. I've never played the games as well. Even though I look like it, I'm not a big gamer. But I'm still excited about this. The idea of time traveling into another person, like an ancestor's body, and then living that time is kind of interesting. I'm excited to see how they do that. Jaden Michael has been cast as a young Colin Kaepernick for a series from Ava DuVernay called Colin in Black and White for Netflix. Colin Kaepernick will also narrate the show, and the series will revolve around his life, especially when he was younger. It'll reportedly be 6 episodes. I'm pretty excited about a Colin Kaepernick show. He's a pretty influential figure, especially nowadays if you don't know the story, or maybe you probably do. He was the guy who was kneeling for the national anthem during the national anthem in order to protest the killings of young black men. People saw this as disrespectful to the flag, especially Donald Trump, so he was actually fired from the NFL. And then he came back bigger than ever as a sponsored by Nike, so the NFL who's paying Nike, Nike is paying Colin Kaepernick, it goes full circle. You know, screw the NFL for that. Former host of The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, will return to television as the anchor for a new show on Apple TV. This still untitled show will feature hour-long single-subject episodes where he explores a host of topics at the center of both the national conversation and his own advocacy work. So basically like The Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, only this time with Jon Stewart. I love Jon Stewart, big Daily Show fan. I'm excited to see what happens with this show. I don't have Apple TV yet, though, so gotta get that. Narcos Mexico will get a season 3 with new showrunner Carlo Bernard taking over for Eric Newman. The synopsis for the season also reveals that it will do another time jump, this time to the 90s. Heard great things about Narcos. I've actually never seen this show, but it's really high on my list, especially because people of color always gotta represent, you know? Craig Robinson will host The Masked Dancer, a spinoff of The Masked Singer. I refuse to watch either of these. I just want to say that The Masked Dancer sounds even dumber than The Masked Singer. If you don't know the premise, people guess who's dancing and people guess who's singing. That's the whole show. That's it. That's everything. They're in costumes. Nancy Drew will get a spinoff, Tom Swift, with a backdoor pilot coming next season to Nancy Drew on The CW. I didn't know the show was still a thing, but I guess it is. Peacock cancels its original series, Brave New World, after 1 season. I actually was looking forward to watching this. It has the guy who plays Solo, Alden Arkwright, I believe his name is, something like that. And it looked visually like a movie, like it looked very beautiful. It was a very short series from what I've heard, but it got canceled after one season, so I don't know if they were intending for a season two. I take it they were, because they were really marketing it for Peacock. It didn't happen. American Gods gets renewed for season three, and The Babysitter's Club gets renewed for season two, first on Starz and the second on Netflix. I've actually never seen either of these shows, but I've heard good things. Let me know if you guys have seen the shows. A new black female Green Lantern will be the main character of the new Green Lantern series. That's pretty exciting. Like I've said before when we talked about the Green Lantern, it seems to be very representative of multiple different cultures. So the fact that they're bringing in a brand new character that is black and female is pretty cool. So I'm down for it. I'm pretty excited. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7 is now on Netflix, which means the whole show is now on Netflix, and The Chappelle Show is now on HBO Max and Netflix, so check both of those out. And finally, in TV news, You has officially begun production on Season 3. You as in the show, not like you the person. I'm talking about you with the serial killer who is also in love with people and killing people. It's a whole mess of a show, but I have to admit that I enjoyed it quite a bit, so I'm kind of excited for season three. Let me know if you are as well. Let me know if I missed anything, and are you excited for Nancy Drew spinoffs? Are you excited for The Masked Dancer? Let me know what I've missed, and let me know. Mandalorian is back, you guys, and I wanted to do a full breakdown of all my thoughts, a few spoilers, not too much, and really what I think. So just to let you guys know, if you haven't seen the newest episode of The Mandalorian, it is now on Disney Plus, go check it out. Pause the episode right now because I'm going to go into some spoilers and I'm going to talk about what I really liked and maybe what I didn't like about the new episode. And we're back, so let's get into Star Wars The Mandalorian, starting with the beginning fight scene, which is in every trailer, so I'm pretty sure most people have seen a lot of it. Fun fact, the guy who he is making a deal with and talking to is actually John Leguizamo. You may know as Sid from Ice Age, or maybe from his role in The Happening, but you can barely tell, like you can't tell at all. I really had to look it up. The action is still incredible. It's on another level. It's very Western feeling. I love Baby Yoda going back into his shell in order to hide from the missiles and stuff. I also love the part where Mando shoots out the light so the beasts can come and kill him. It's a very dark opening, but it's also very reminiscent of what we've seen before. So it's just getting darker and darker. I also got to thinking that this episode is a really good entry point to anyone who is just starting off into the series. It's a very simple story if you think about it, The Mandalorian, and I really appreciate that. I think the best stories have simple plots with complex characters, not complex plots with simple characters. It's not like these last couple of Star Wars movies where we're going from point A to point B, looking for the triangle thing that gets us to the other thing, that gets us to the other thing, that gets us to Darth Sidious. No, I don't need all that. I just want Mando to take this baby to the Jedi. I also appreciate the amount of Baby Yoda isn't surging. Like, it's the exact same amount as they had in the last season. I don't need too much Baby Yoda. I think the amount of Baby Yoda they've been putting in every episode is just perfect. He could easily become the Minions if they overdo it, and I really wouldn't like that. So I'm glad that they're not doing too much with little Baby Yoda. Tatooine and everything in this episode, it felt very much like they were marketing toward the original trilogy fans, which I'm cool with. R5 was a nice touch. The Tusken Raiders was a nice touch. If you actually haven't heard, they actually hired a deaf actor to help create a Tusken sign language and play a Tusken Raider. And I like small things like that, you know? Little representation matters too. Even if you can't tell, it has that little extra detail that elevates the show. So I was appreciative of that. And of course, I have to talk about Cobb Vanth. Now, before I say anything about Cobb Vanth, I want to start by saying I couldn't stop saying Cobb Vanth of Vanth Refrigeration because it reminds me so much of Bob Vance. It's too close, and I hope I didn't ruin that name for you or that character for you. Timothy Oliphant in the Boba Fett armor was cooler than anything Boba Fett has ever done in his entirety. Like, everything. I don't understand why people like Boba Fett at all. I would love a Timothy Oliphant Cobb Vanth spinoff Star Wars show. Let me know if you guys would too. He was just perfect in the role. I would have loved it if the both of them were in the whole season. Just the two of them doing Mandalorian stuff. When those two were next to each other with their weapons out, was probably one of the coolest Star Wars moments I have ever seen in my lifetime that I got to see when it first happened. So I'm really happy that I saw this episode. I got up at 9 a.m. to watch this episode. I was so excited. For a brief moment in the episode, I actually thought that Mando died. And it's only for like a solid 5 to 10 seconds when that happened. But when that happened, I thought, oh my God, what if every season of The Mandalorian is about a new Mandalorian taking up the mantle of taking care of Baby Yoda? And my mind blew, and I was like, oh my God, this whole season is going to be about Cobb Vanth and Timothy Oliphant, and he's going to have to learn how to take care of Baby Yoda, and it's going to be this whole thing. And I was like legit freaking out for a second. And then of course, you know, Mando comes out and I'm like, oh, never mind. That was just my mind going into overload for a second. I do have a theory though about this episode. And the theory is, I don't think at the end of this episode where they do the bait and switch and finally give us Boba Fett, I don't think that is actually Boba Fett. I think that's a clone trooper, because remember, Boba Fett is a clone of Jango Fett, and so are all the other clones. So that could be literally anybody. That could be any clone. It could be someone connected to the Bad Batch. So I'm going to place my bets that it's someone else, and they are just doing another bait and switch on us, a third one. That is actually a clone. I'm going to say it right here so people can, you know, record this and show me when I'm wrong. I actually more so hope this theory is true, just because I'm not a big fan of Boba Fett. He hasn't done anything cool in any Star Wars anything. Go ahead and let me know if you think otherwise, but you're wrong, because he doesn't. But overall, I loved this episode. It might be one of the best episodes of The Mandalorian. It was definitely a fantastic re-entry, and I'm really happy that in all of 2020, in all of the madness, at least we get new Mandalorian. Let me know what you guys think. Did I miss anything? Let me know your thoughts on the new episode of The Mandalorian, and we're going to be doing this every week, so be sure to come back to Live Action Remake for your review of the new Mandalorian episodes. Now, in honor of Travis Scott, who, if you guys did not know, on Halloween, he posted a picture of him dressed up as Batman, and he was so cyberbullied so bad on Instagram. Now, I have nothing against him or his costume. I did notice that it was brown, and I didn't understand why, so I started looking into more comics to actually try to find out what type of Batman he was trying to be. I think it was just because his colors were brown and he wanted to match, so I thought he was trying to make a reference to a comic book, and he was not. So I'm sorry, I'm not that deep into the rap game, but I am into the comics game. So I decided, because of that, in honor of Travis Scott, and I'm sorry about all of the cyberbullying that happened to him, I wanted to talk about my personal favorite Batman suit in film, and or live action as well, because there's a ton of different iterations of the character and his look, from Michael Keaton to Ben Affleck to Christian Bale, David Mazouz on freaking Gotham, and even Batman on Batwoman. They have shown his suit before, so there are plenty of Batman suits live action to talk about, including like the Adam West one. There are so many, and I love a lot of them. Most of them look really good to me in general, but I wanted to talk about my personal favorite, because I'm actually a huge costume guy. Like, if there's anything I love most about the Marvel movies, or, you know, TV shows, or anything with superheroes, it's actually the costumes. I love detailing, and I love seeing new takes on different costumes. It's one thing I'm very passionate about. I could do a whole episode about just my favorite costumes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Maybe I will one of these days, but for now, I just wanted to talk about one. And I wanted to talk about my favorite Batman suit. And that's actually the Ben Affleck Batman suit from Batman vs. Superman. As much as I love his armored look, which is amazing, it's such an incredibly well-done suit that is reminiscent of The Dark Knight Returns, I'm talking about his actual suit that he wears throughout most of the film. Now, there are some cons with this suit that I particularly don't like. Two things in particular. One, the small ears. I know that they were just trying to differentiate from Christian Bale, who had particularly long ears on his suit, and Michael Keaton as well, who had very big ears. So they went with a shorter ear look. It's also reminiscent of Dark Knight Returns. He has smaller ears, but I just don't think it captures the bat as much. I love the sharper, longer ears. Like Arkham Knight, those are probably my favorite Batman ears. I like them longer. And second, the giant bat symbol is not particularly my favorite. It looks really good on the Superman logo. Like, them two together in the Batman vs. Superman logo looks really cool. I'm not going against that. What I'm saying is that by itself, it looks like a blob. And if you put that in the sky, it's not going to look like a bat. And it never does in the movies. So it's not my favorite logo. However, the texture of the suit itself looks fantastic. This Batman is a particularly bigger Batman, because he is an older Batman, if you haven't seen the film. He has been doing this for a lot longer than, say, Christian Bale or Michael Keaton. So instead of being fast and flexible, he decides to go bigger and stronger because he needs to take out people faster. He doesn't have the energy to just be going toe-to-toe with people for a long time, so he has to take out people fast. The fact that he's a bigger, bulkier Batman, I actually appreciate that. He looks more intimidating to me. He looks more brutal. The hints of gold on the actual belt are reminiscent of the old Batman animated series where he had yellow on his suit. It really gets me upset that Batman is always black and gray, black and gray, black and gray. I wish they added more color to him. I wish someone was bold enough to make the suit blue again. I would love that, but they always tend to go black and gray. So the fact that they added just that hint of gold, I'm very appreciative of that. I also think his weaponry personally looks really cool compared to Christian Bale's. I'm not a big fan of the Batmobile from Christian Bale's because it's so huge. Of course someone could find it compared to Ben Affleck's. It's longer, but it's shorter, so it can go by faster, and it goes into the water as well, as you can see in the film, so it's easier to hide. Not only that, just to go along with the suit, I know the suit's part of it, but also the action that can be done within the suit. Christian Bale's action is always really bad in the Dark Knight movies, while Ben Affleck's is incredibly brutal and powerful. I know that Robert Pattinson looks way better in the action too, and he looks like a much younger Batman, so he looks more like Batman. But Ben Affleck looks like a much older Batman from The Dark Knight Returns, and that is one of my favorite Batman comic books, so it's just the look I love the most. Let me know what you guys think. Do you guys like another Batman any better? Let me know. And let me know if you guys want me to dive into anyone else's. I'd gladly go into my favorite Spider-Man suit, my favorite Iron Man suit. There are so many different variations of different characters, and I love to talk about it, so let me know what you guys think. Finally, I wanted to end the show with a couple of recommendations. Like I said at the beginning of this show, I know we all probably had a tough time recently, so I just want to bring up a couple of shows that I really love and I think other people can really enjoy and not maybe feel so heavy with the episodes. Just something that makes you happy and makes you excited. So I wanted to bring up two shows. One I actually already brought up in this episode because the new season has dropped on Netflix, and that is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of the best Marvel shows on television, and it's one of the most overlooked because it doesn't have a flashy title like Daredevil or, you know, Cloak and Dagger or Runaways. It's not led by a classic comic book character. It's led by a team of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Just because it does that, though, doesn't mean the show doesn't dive into the Marvel Cinematic Universe or the Marvel Universe at all. It dives into it more than any other show. It is the least realistic as far as Marvel shows go, more so than any other. It goes into time travel. It goes into aliens, inhumans, robots, ghosts, so many different villains as well. Major Marvel characters, superheroes, show up in the show that do not show up anywhere else in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Quake, Patriot, Ghost Rider, my personal favorite, who's actually Hispanic in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. A lot of people don't know that, but they did the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider in the MCU, and he is fantastic, and he almost got a spinoff. Deathlok, Slingshot, and villains like Graviton, Lash, Hive, Madam Hydra, big named characters that they are never going to do in the films are on these shows, and on these shows for multiple episodes and multiple arcs, and all really well done. They do the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., like in the MCU where Hydra comes out of the woodworks. They do the Civil War. They talk about these things and how these events affect the smaller parts of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And they do it so well where it doesn't feel overbearing, like it's being overly affected by those. It does feel like a natural occurrence. Not to mention, it's led by Phil Coulson. Clark Gregg returns for the show. If you were a big fan of Phil Coulson in The Avengers or Thor, he is the lead of the show, and he is amazing. He gets upgrades. He basically becomes his own version of a superhero. He is one of my favorite Marvel characters of all time, and he still is. It also has one of the saddest and best love stories of any two characters on any show. It's so well done. And you'll know who it is when you watch the show. Please do watch the show. If you're a fan of deep cut Marvel characters or just a major fan of the MCU, this show is definitely for you. I'll admit that the first season is definitely the worst season. It's not necessarily bad, but the show doesn't really know what it's trying to be. It kind of wants to be a superhero show. It kind of wants to be a spy show. But once it finds its footing, and it does, the show gets brought up to another level. And the show does not exist in the real MCU timeline anymore, because it follows the entire MCU timeline until Infinity War, and then after Infinity War, they never actually do the snap. So this is probably one of the fractured timelines of the MCU. So it's not in the proper MCU, but you'll still have a lot of fun watching it. And I think it gets even better once it breaks apart from the MCU and starts being what it wants to be and focusing on Marvel parts that it wants to focus on. So definitely check out that show. Coming from an MCU fanboy, I'm a huge Marvel fan. I think everyone should watch this show. It's so good. Let me know what you guys think. The last show I want to bring up is actually a sitcom, which I'm not usually a big fan of sitcoms, but this one is probably my third favorite of all time behind Community and It's Always Sunny, and it's called New Girl. It was actually shown to me by my girlfriend. It's about a heartbroken, naive teacher who has to move out of her ex's place and ends up moving in with three strangers. It is a very silly, goofy show. One of the main characters is Jake Johnson. Now, if you've seen him in anything, you'd know his type of comedy. He is fantastic in the show. Lamorne Morris from the new show Woke on Hulu is one of the main characters as well. Max Greenfield, Hannah Simone, Zooey Deschanel, Wayan Jr., one of the Wayan brothers. I always forget his name, but the whole cast is incredibly funny. It has some very heartfelt and genuine touching moments, but it's mostly filled with ridiculous jokes and realistic enough scenarios where you'll find yourself laughing at basically every episode. Does it fall off? Yes, it falls off around the last two seasons, particularly the last season. But you'll be hooked by then, and you'll pretty much enjoy the entire show. It's definitely lighthearted enough for a time like now, so please, if you haven't seen it already, that one is on Netflix. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is also on Netflix, so check those both out. Let me know what you guys think, if you guys have seen either of these shows, and let me know if you guys have any recommendations. I'd love to hear some recommendations from y'all. And that's pretty much all the news I had for this week. Let me know what you guys thought. Let me know if you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please give us a like and follow on Facebook or Instagram at Live Action Remake. Recommend the show to people if you enjoy it. If you don't, then don't, I guess, but... let me know what you guys thought about The Mandalorian, if you guys check out my new recommendations. Be on the lookout. There should be some news coming out next week that I'm pretty excited to share with you guys on our Facebook and Instagram page. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys are being safe. Please wear a mask and be careful out there, y'all. I know things are going to get crazy soon. I could pretty much feel it. I think we all do. But just know that everything's going to be okay. I hope. And stay safe, y'all. Y'all, you have a good one.